Blog Talk Radio.
All right, I feel good today. Tell them how you feel, Gerald. Come on, get up. Let's praise. Come on, Holy Ghost. Talk about the Holy Ghost fire. Come on.
Time, beloved, to let our minds, bodies, and souls be renewed and refreshed in our relationship with our great, wonderful, and magnificent God, our Father. And what can I say? Words cannot truly and fully express the gratitude, the appreciation, the love that we have for His beautiful Son, our Prince of Peace, our wonderful Messiah and Savior, Jesus the Christ, right here on this fire gospel experience. Jesus the Christ is unashamedly, unequivocally, and unapologetically declared to be the only Redeemer, y'all. He's the only acceptable Lamb of God. He is the only chosen one with the keys of life, death, hell, the grave, and to our beautiful eternal life that starts right here and right now. Oh, no, we're not going to wait till we float away on some pink cloud with angel wings. We are blessed with eternal life the moment that we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart, like it says in Romans 10:9, we will receive this wonderful gift of eternal life. Our God is our only hope and light for this lost, dark, and dying world that we live in. And it's where the Lord Jesus, it seems like it gets more lost, more dark, and more dying as days go by. Blessings to each and every one of you. I'm your purpose and power-driven host, Brian E. Jefferson. And I'm here to bring you the most uplifting spiritual soul inspirations, as well as some of the most anointed gospel music that has ever been made and ever been played. If you're new to this broadcast, you're not here by incident or coincidence. It has been preordained for you to hear what's about to be broadcast in this program for your spiritual consideration. If you don't know Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, we just ask you to just sit still for a minute, keep an open ear and an open mind, and let your heart receive truth like it never has before. And if you are already a committed, firm, and conscientious believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have power, power, power to pour into your spirit. Fire the gospel experience. It will light, ignite, and fan those flames that's in your spirit, man, woman, boy, or girl, so that you can be a victorious believer in Jesus the Christ. Because listen, y'all, God's not a respected person. He's just looking for a humble heart to worship and fellowship with him in spirit and truth. We will be embracing for your spiritual nutrition as well as your spiritual consideration from the Old Testament book of Judges, chapter 6, verse 10. But the children of Israel have fallen into the similitude of the nations around them. They have forsaken the covenant agreement with God and their, as well as our forefather, spiritual forefather, Abel. They were the heirs of promise, but the promise included their willing submission and obedience to the will and the word of God. The harsh consequences, lessons that followed that they learned are also for our benefit, to be blessed by God or unfortunately receive a curse for our disobedience. We will be talking about obey. I know that sounds like a bad word to some people, but I promise you, the more we obey, the more God will pour out blessings so abundantly. And if we try to press it down, shake it together, guess what? They'll still be running over in our bosom. My special guest is here. I always put our family in call for you, men of God, to come in here and fellowship with me. Good brothers, good brothers. I'm blessed to have senior pastor at Network of Believers, man of God, Pastor Eugene Whitmore, right here in our capital of Arkansas, Little Rock. This young man has been ministering for many, many years. He's been blessed to achieve some wonderful accomplishments. Him and First Lady Teresa Devine Whitmore are wonderfully ministering in the capital of Little Rock and surrounding areas. They have their own platform. They have their own ministries. They are making a difference as God has provided. And he'll do the very same thing for you. So we're going to hear his testimony. We're going to hear his profound words as a pastor, as a man of God, to encourage us to walk upright in this faith in our God. Yes. And then we will have later on in the broadcast, y'all know I'm going to bring out my shine out of the spotlight on an amazing woman of God, talented, anointed gospel artist, woman of God, Karen Zellers Sevier is here. And boy, it's been a while, and I promise you, when she comes back on this broadcast, you all are going to feel like we have just been blessed and anointed all over again. So listen, you got time. Call your family members, call a friend, call a coworker, neighbor, somebody that's in your spirit right now to join us on this fire gospel experience. We've already had prayer. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for overseeing our lives, for covering us, for keeping us, for showing us the ways of righteousness so that we can be a bright, shining light in this world that we're living in. Thank you most of all right now, Holy Spirit God, for lighting the fuse that's about to set the internet and the radio airwaves on Holy Ghost sanctified fire, fire, fire. My God. There it is right there, saints of God. Just in case you were wondering how you had any dread, any intrepidation, or any fear or hesitation, wondering about the grace of God, I am here to let you know, just like Ebony Ho, featuring Derek Jermaine, Angel Davis, Sanina Barber, and Gene Hoskins, it ain't gonna run out. His grace, it's impossible. God is eternal. That means all of the facets and characteristics of who God is are eternal as well. Grace will never run out. Y'all see how we start this fire gospel experience out? We come out swinging for the fences, y'all. Aiming for a spiritual home run, I guess you could say is the metaphor. Always, always, always excited, blessed, and happy to be back here with you all for another fire gospel experience. My special guest is here, and I have so much respect for this young man. I'm sure he's not even aware. That's why we have to be mindful of how we conduct ourselves on a very consistent way, because we never know who's paying attention, who's observing us, who has a careful eye on the way that we are living our lives, on the way that we are fulfilling our calling and ministry. And I know this young man has been consistent throughout the years. He has very special milestones of achievement that he has been blessed to achieve. And we will be discussing that in the vein of our conversation. And without any further ado, without any further hesitation, this man of God, Pastor Eugene Whitmore, is here with us. He is the pastor of, yes, indeed, I promise you, the Network of Believers right here in the capital of Arkansas, Little Rock, Arkansas. Excited, happy, and blessed to have this man of God joining us. Pastor Eugene Whitmore is here on Fire, the Gospel Experience, y'all. Yes, he is. Pastor Whitmore, you got my audience clapping, standing. They just have been anticipating your arrival to this Fire Gospel Experience platform, and I'm excited to have you here with us, sir. Welcome to Fire the Gospel Experience, sir. How you doing?
Blessings on blessings to you and all the listeners. Brother Ron, thank you, first of all, for the opportunity to share the goodness of the Lord with your audience. It is indeed a blessing, and I want to commend you for the work that you do, the heart that you have for the people of God. Thank you so much for today.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. I appreciate those compliments, those kind words. I'm not sure, Pastor Whitmore, if maybe the body of Christ, Christian believers, fully realize how much sincere words of compliment and encouragement can fuel and refresh our spirits. So I take full reception of those words as I continue my ministry of feeding each individual that comes my way, whether it's on this platform or whether it's at my job or whether wherever it is, to just speak life into somebody as they continue on in this faith-filled journey. Amen?
Yes. Praise the Lord. Blessing.
Amen.
You know, I think we have been given, as you said, Brother Ron, the ministry of reconciliation. So it's important that we encourage the people of God constantly, because, you know, they're being attacked. We are an attack from the enemy, and the main attack of the enemy is to rob us of our identification. That means that our confidence has been lost. And so, yes, this is the main platform to encourage. Amen.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And the beautiful thing about intelligent, well-informed people that are in positions of ministry, such as preachers, such as reverends, if you will, and pastors and bishops, y'all come fully loaded. See, my job, listeners, are going to be very easy today. All I have to do is just interject every now and then. I've already given Pastor Eugene Whitmore full permission to just come and just enjoy himself. As Holy Spirit God leads you, man of God, I'm going to reiterate this. Please, please, please feel free to share it. And I'm hoping and I'm praying that there's some things in your spirit that you've been keeping to yourself between you and God, wondering where and when can I speak on these issues, these things that have just been in my spirit. Not saying it's necessarily a negative thing, but but something that you know down in your spirit, Pastor Whitmore, you've been holding on to, and I'm sensing that in my spirit. I'm going to say this, too, and I'm going to turn you loose, man of God, because we want to know a little bit about how the origins of your faith came into being, when and at what phase and season of your life did you decide to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. But let me say this, too, sir. Sometimes we don't fully realize in the terms of encouragement, compliments, uplift, that we are actually being prompted by Holy Spirit God to do so, because there will be people that come our way and Holy Spirit God wants a word of encouragement said to that person, but for some reason, maybe we have not fully become attuned to Holy Spirit God having his way, and we hold back when Holy Spirit God wants to use us at that particular moment. Can you share with us about being receptive to Holy Spirit's prompting so that we can be more effective as a body?
Well, of course, you know, I think we're living in actually a time, and I call it an era. Many have called it a dispensation, where we're getting greater understanding of the heart of God, the intent of God, what his desire is for his people. And God is raising up people such as yourself that have been through a couple of things, and people that have been in moments that they know it was only the grace of God that would pull them out of that level of torment, if you will, that level of hate. And so it's... it's again, and my journey into ministry, I began young. You know, I was a church baby, you know, as people termed it, but I still needed God. You know, I still needed God, when I came to ministry, I knew I had a call on my life, but I didn't think that I measured up to what I had seen.
Oh, Lord.
Or
yes,
the
ideas. Yes,
I didn't think I, so for years. You know, knowing that I had the call upon my life, just like many people that are listening now, you know, you get yourself in situations and you get yourself into those things and you make those decisions because you don't think you qualify. So you make decisions based out of your qualifications, what you have deemed yourself. And so when you think that you're just a nobody, as you said earlier, nothing is happening out of chance. It's ordained of the Lord, you know. And when you don't know this, you make decisions based out of what you have fallen or where you have fallen to. You know what I'm saying? And
yes,
I always think this, and I always tell people this from the book of Genesis 2, verse 7. It says, from the dust of the ground, God created man. And then the text goes on to say that he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. In other words, God put himself in that body that he created. And then it says, man became a living soul. Man became a living soul. You know, God had given man, all of us, it's the mandate upon each of us that were born. We were born into this earth realm to actually accomplish something in God. Everybody. Doesn't matter. And I want to emphasize this, Brother Ron, you know this well. Doesn't matter where you find yourself. It doesn't matter. God has the power through grace to raise us up out of anything. It doesn't matter.
Come on, preacher.
I want to emphasize that. It does not matter. If there's someone listening to me, you in the middle of what you call the worst possible scenario, the grace of God will walk into the worst possible scenario and pull you out. I think it was David that said, even if I made my bed in hell, the grace of God will come and rescue me. And so oftentimes we get into addictions, we get into certain things in life, and they are hell. They are hell. Hell is, and we know that God's grace will come to those places and get right into bed with you, if you will. Get right into the scenario and build you up. And so that is so important. That is the foundational thought that each of us have to have if we plan to do anything for the Lord. We got to first realize that he is a God of grace, a God of mercy, a God of
Thank
love.
You.
He is that God. He is that God, Brother Ron. You know, I think through doctrines, and I get it because I was brought up in it. I think through a lot of things that we were taught my wife and I always say, you know, they did the best that they could with what they had. You know, they told us what they thought was right. And I think that the scripture is actually true, that there will be revelation revealed in each generation, so there will be greater understanding that we will come into as it relates to the grace of God. And I think we need it more now than ever. But the Bible says something very, very powerful in Romans chapter 5, verse number 6. Romans chapter 5, verse number 6. Now, listen to this text in detail. Here's what the text says.
Come on, sir.
For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Now, interesting that it says when we were without. In other words, I didn't come to my right mind. I was not what initiated God's love toward me, in other words. It was God loving me right where I was, right in the middle of the mess that I had made a decision and caused me to go. Now, people got to hear this, because I don't want you to believe that God is not here for you now. He's here for you now. For when we were without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. He didn't die for the righteous. He didn't die for the good people.
Yeah.
He died for the ungodly.
Sir.
Seventh verse says, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But the eighth verse says this, but God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Christ died. So that there it is. Everybody, right now, no matter where you are, you have a right to believe God today and turn your life over to him and see a drastic turnaround. Drastic turnaround. That's the heart of
isn't
God
that a beautiful thing?
Concerning us. That's his heart, man.
Pastor, just to show you how we are in tune with that understanding about how God will come right into the mess that we made. And something that I found out a long time ago, God is not necessarily obligated to get us out of every mess that we get ourselves into. Sometimes going through the mess, because we're kept by God, it won't destroy us. It won't ruin us.
Yeah.
We may take a blow and a hit, but we will not be lost once we have been redeemed and saved. God said to me just the other day, I've been blessed. I hear God's voice because I did what James admonished. He said, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask God. My life was in such a turmoil and dysfunction at an early age in my teenage years. I asked God for wisdom when I was 15 years old, because everything around me seemed like it was a hot mess waiting to happen all over again. So God told me, and I put this on my page, Pastor, God turns our worst nightmares into sweet dreams come true.
Yes.
He'll do it.
I think, Brother Ron, I think that is the perspective that all of us should understand. So oftentimes we thought it was us convincing God to love us, to make our lives right. You know, God decided, as Romans 5 just said it, it wasn't my decision, it was a God decision to love me. When the scripture says we were predestined before we entered into our mother's womb, we have to understand that God knew and God knows. He knows exactly who you are. We say oftentimes he's the all-knowing God, but sometimes we get into things and we think that we are now surprising him. Like, whoa, I didn't think you were
going to.
I didn't know how. Wow, let me figure out something on this. No, it's not. There are decisions that we make that God allow us to go. The word is through it, so that we can learn some things from it. It causes our strength to be built. Every experience that I have with God, and he brings me out of it, my faith is built. You know, there's a song, a gospel song that says, how great is our God? And it's sung all over the world. But one day I was listening to the song being sung, And as you said, the Holy Spirit speaks. And the Holy Spirit says, yes. And answer them, how great am I? And I began to try to answer it. And he says, listen, that's an open-ended question. And so, of course, I'm asking God, why is it? He says, because you can never determine how great I am. I'm only as great as your next challenge that I bring you out of. So it's still to be answered. You know what I'm saying? You're going to think this was the pinnacle of my power, and then there's something else that's going to come, and I'm going to show you that I can handle that too. I can handle that too.
Amen.
So that's the kind of God we serve.
We talk about eternity. We talk about, Pastor Whitmore, eternity sometimes in a limited perspective as if it's just a place, eternity. It's just a location.
Yeah.
It's just a destination that we will one day enjoy. But it's also a characteristic of God's nature. That means if God is love, that means the full and greatest definition and manifestation that we could possibly conceive of as love, God is that eternally speaking, meaning there is no end to God's love. So when it comes to God's peace that he provides, see, we have, I don't know if we fully understand it, we are blessed with gifts that money cannot buy. So when God, who is infinite and has an eternal nature, his eternal characteristics of peace and joy abides within his very nature on the same level of his existence. That means it is without limit, Pastor, and I know you know this. And he makes it available to those, like the our elders used to say, that it flows from heaven all the way down to earth to those that believe and are willing to receive it. So I'm just so grateful, Pastor, to know more and more. The longer we live, the more answers that we receive regarding God leads to several more questions so that we can continue to feed and satisfy our spiritual thirst with the true knowledge of God.
Yes, yes. Well, that's why 2 Peter 3:18 says that we grow in grace and in the knowledge. You know, it is so vast. And that's why revelation knowledge is so important to the believer, because, you know, when we're at a point where we think it's finished or it's done, the Lord reminds us that this is just the tip of, you know, we can never exhaust the wherewithal of God. We'll never get to the place of his infinite wisdom and his infinite abilities. And like you say, eternity, we have to understand this as humans, that time is the offspring of eternity, meaning God gives us time, but that's just the baby or the child, if you will, of eternity. God lives in an eternal realm. So that means that we listen to this. We do not serve a progressive God. Now, this is one of the most important revelations to get. We don't serve a progressive God. Now, I know we are in a progressive age of technology, but this should give you even more clarity about who your God is. We don't serve a progressive God, because when the scripture says that he is finished, he does not have to progress. What is finished is not progressive. Now, we are in him in time. So what we do, we come to a progressive God, a non-progressive God, and we get in him understanding with all confidence that if I can believe through faith what he said, I have to go through a process to get to what is finished. That gives me confidence that when I obey what the Lord says, it is guaranteed success, because he's already finished what he said to me. He's the God that is already at the end and goes back to the very beginning to start what is already done in him. So when God drops something in my spirit, it is not a work in progress. It is a work that's done. Mm. It is a work that's done.
Yes,
and so my faith prompts me to hear from heaven so that he can lead me and guide me to the proper places in the right time. In the right time. Mm. And that's what we That's what we do. So it is finished. This is even to the people that are right now in the middle of, again, the worst mess of their life. God hasn't shifted in his ordination on your life. You just got to come to the understanding, which is the only thing that pulls you out or give you confidence to make a decision. I say this so often, that decisions decide season. Because of a decision that you made. So if you are where you are because of a bad decision, here's what is beautiful. If you make the right decision, it ends that season. That's all it is. We got to make informed decisions. That comes through the right and proper revelation. And the foundation is that the grace of God is not going to walk away from you. It has never walked away. It's the enemy through bad theology telling you that you're on your own because of what you've done. God says, I would never leave you. I would never forsake you. I'm ready for a move. Now, listen, you know, what we have to understand is this. So oftentimes as believers, we think that it's an overnight process. Tomorrow you should be perfect. When it took us 20, 30 years to get to the faith step level that we're on, we expect everybody else to have it overnight. So it's a process that we our faith has to be built. So we're going to go through things that God builds our faith constantly, constantly. But we have to realize that when I go through something that challenges me, it's not an indictment from God. It's a building. What you thought was supposed to kill you, God says that is to catapult you. Catapult. So that's the heart of God concerning his people. And it didn't change, Brother Ron. It doesn't change. It's always the same.
The Bible tells us that God changes not. So that means that his will, even though he has a permissive will, that he allows us to go a certain way, his overall will not change. And God's will evidently be fulfilled according to his will. Now, you said something about the amazing grace of God, abundance of God's tender mercy, him never leaving us. But what we need to be careful of, Pastor Whitmore, is that we can come into such a inflated knowledge of God's grace on our own, where we feel sometimes we could be susceptible to abusing God's grace. I believe that's why Paul said in Romans 6:1, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Help us understand that just because we have this knowledge of God's wonderful, forgiving, abiding, eternal grace, that is not a green light and a license to continue to be in sin. Willful sin. Help us, sir. Help us.
Well, let me approach it like this, because I think that's one of the perspective shifts that is very important for us moving forward as it relates to grace. Now, the foundational understanding is this. God gives his son Jesus. And it was because, and I can't go into all of that because that takes forever to dissect or to unpack, if you will. But maybe another time
That's all right. Yes, sir. We'll bring you back.
The beginning of things. But I will say this, that in Genesis 1:26, let us make man, that was a conversation amongst the Godhead. A decision was made amongst the Godhead that we would make man in our image and our likeness and give them dominion over the earth. Let us make them in our image, but give them the dominion. Now, this was a decision in the Godhead real quickly. So it was in the Godhead. Man was not involved in that meeting, right? So it's God determining that he's going to give man dominion and the grace to fulfill it. Of course, we know Adam sinned by disobedience, so that changed the whole trajectory. But ever since that, because of the decision, when God's original intent is always his final decision. He doesn't change.
Yes, sir.
He doesn't change.
Yes, sir.
He's always going to be God. Now, maybe after this, I'm going to kind of dissect what the book Malachi 3:6 says, because that was mentioned, but I'll get to that. But when the Godhead made the decision, it was a binding decision. It was God talking to himself about what he wanted to do in man. And so every time God makes a decision, it's a binding decision. So when God determined that man would be the dominionaries, if you will, of the earth, that was a decision he made inside the Godhead about man. Again, man was not privy to that meeting, so he had nothing to do with it. That was a God decision. But when he failed, he didn't change God's mind, because he wasn't a part of the meeting. So when man failed, he doesn't change God's mind. God's intent is still God's intent. So what does God do? Since I made a covenant with myself, I have bound myself to myself. So since man would have dominion, what I'm going to do? I got to send myself to actually correct, as a man, what a man made a bad decision on. So now the word becomes flesh, Jesus. And it became the sacrifice to correct. Why would God do this? Because he made a commitment to himself that he can't change. So grace is given because God's commitment to himself. This is what we must understand. Now, to get to the God is, I am God and I change not, that's actually Malachi chapter 3, verse 6. I'm quoting, so you'll have to read it. Your listeners will have to read this. It says, I am God and I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Now listen to the text again. He says to them, I am God, and I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Now, we know, of course, the sons of Jacob are Israel, because Jacob's name changed to Israel. He had 12 sons, the 12 tribes of Israel. So what is he saying here? He's saying to a people, a tribe, or a nation that is disobedient. And he's saying to them, you better be glad that I am a God that keep my word, that keeps my covenant.
Amen.
And I changed not. Because if I wasn't a God that kept my word to myself, you would already be dead. So I'm a God that don't change. And therefore, the promises that I promise you, I'm going to continue those promises through grace. Now, watch this. It happens when you align with my word. You align with my word. So as it relates to the grace issue, here's what we have to understand. The covenant that he had with Israel, which are the 12 tribes of the 12 sons of Jacob, is a different covenant than he has with us, or the heirs of promise through faith of Abraham. Now, that's what Hebrews explain. Now, why I'm saying this is because we got to get this, because when God speaks to us today, his grace is unmeasurable ever. It never ends. But there is an enemy. His name is Satan.
Yes, come on.
That knows that the grace of God is forever, unchangeable. So his job, and he's been doing a good job at it, his job is to get us to walk in what is called out of alignment with God.
Uh-oh.
Because, again, if God makes a promise to himself, he commits to himself, everything he does is for himself.
That's true.
He just uses me as the physical vessel to carry out the things that he promised to himself.
So when
my life get out of alignment with God, then he's no longer doing it to himself. That's what Israel's problem was. You just got out of alignment with me, so now I can't do it for you, because I won't be doing it for me.
Amen.
And that's where our life is now. We think it's a God indictment. It's not. It's just that the enemy has convinced us to be out of alignment with God. And decisions decide seasons. Now,
thank you, Pastor.
Brother Ron, can I hit what you said earlier about Judges chapter 6? Or we want to wait for that?
I'm going to ask you to hold your point right there, because you have shared so much profound truth. I need to let it sink into myself. I don't want it to just fly by and float by, and I float on a spiritual uplift and then emotionally don't grasp it, so that I can make that a part of who I am. I want to get it in my spirit. I want it to get into the listeners' ears so it can filter down to the soul and the heart of what you just shared. Listen, listeners, I told y'all I had a dynamic man of God to come and to break the bread of knowledge and God's truth with us. And I need y'all to just digest some of what was shared from this awesome man of God, Eugene Whitmore. He has some amazing accomplishments that we are going to publicize and make known of his consistency, of his faithfulness, and his commitment to God with prominent milestones of anniversaries coming, as well as giving you all information on how you all can continue to be blessed by this man of God's ministry on his own Facebook platform. I promise you, you'll continue to get this spiritual nutrition from this man of God, Pastor Eugene Whitmore. And we're not going to leave our First Lady Teresa Divine Whitmore, because you all come as a beautiful husband and wife tag team, spiritually speaking, to bless the people of God. You tuned in to Fire, the Gospel Experience. We're about to go to church, y'all, with some good old school new Christian airs. When you obey, when you submit, when you allow God to have full access into your mind, heart, body, soul, guess what? You'll be saying yes all the time. There'll be no hesitation. Your soul will say yes.
Are listening to Fire, the Gospel Explosion, where the praises are going up and the worries are going away. Playing for you the best and the newest gospel music on the planet and the most inspiring encouragement under God's heaven. Keep tuning in and bless your family, your friends, and your coworkers by telling them about Fire.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Fire, fire, fire. The Gospel Experience. We are your evangelistic outreach ministry radio broadcast, sharing the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I can recall, Pastor Whitmore, those dark times in my life when habits that I couldn't break was breaking me several years, seasons ago. And I was standing in a place of total despair. And I had to reach back to the seeds of faith that was planted in my spirit as a child, as a youth, because the Bible declared that if we raise up a child the way that he should go, he will not depart from that. And I did not depart, no, not because of no consistency of my own. I had backslid. I had failed God. But God, in that grace and that extended grace and mercy and love that we talked about, he reached down. And he provided me with the new sense of life restoration. And ever since then, my soul has been saying, yes, I'm like the new Christian is. I have not changed my mind on no aspect. I'm just going to continue to move forward. It's just an automatic response for me. Now, Pastor, you were saying that you wanted to dive a little bit deeper into that scripture verse before we went on the break.
Yes, the Judges passage, which I believe that is so interesting. But can I say this, Brother Ron, real quickly? You said,
yes,
just a second ago, and I think it's important to note and to emphasize, you had been brought up. You had a sense of, you know, God and who he was. And but
Amen.
Yet we still encounter things in this journey. I did a teaching that said life happens. You know, there are things in life that will happen. And the reason why I wanted to emphasize the point that you had a spiritual foundation taught prior to the things that you've gone through, this is for the people that think that they are in what they're in because they had because they are so bad because they didn't have that prior teaching. I want to say it's okay. It's okay. God loves you too. He wants you too.
Yes.
He's not. His love toward you is not based out of what you've done or what you have received. His love for you is because he decided to love you enough to bring you to this wealthy place in him. So I wanted to emphasize that to the hearers. Amen.
Yes, sir.
Now,
yes, sir. Amen.
Going to Judges chapter 6. I think this is the scripture, the base text mentioned for today.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes, sir.
The 10th verse says, and I said unto you, I am the Lord your God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell, but ye have not obeyed my voice. Now, I think if I'm correct, this is where we are coming from, or this is what was written, right? In the text.
Yes, sir.
And so,
yes, sir.
And so I want to emphasize, I like to bring context to text so that it just we understand the setting and the whys of God's saying a certain thing. This is the book of Judges, of course. This is the ending just after the ending of a 40-year journey that Israel has come through. And Judges actually are the ancestry to prophets, which means that they were called judges before they were called prophets. And
that's
every
right.
time the people would get in trouble, God would raise up a judge, someone that he would empower to deal with the specific incident of the time. In this particular time, this is actually people hearing the 10th verse of chapter 6 might not even grab the story, but if I say Gideon, then everybody say, oh, yeah, I know exactly who you are. Gideon is actually the judge chosen for verses 1 through 10. So Israel is doing evil in the sight of God. Or in other words, when the scripture says evil, the evil in the sight of God, watch this, is when people don't trust him. That's the foundational core of evil to God, is when I can't believe what he said. The greatest desire of a sovereign God is to be believed.
Yeah.
That's the thing. That's what he, this is what he wants more than anything else. I think that needs to sink into the heart of the listeners too. The greatest desire of the Almighty God is to be believed. Because yeah. the scripture says without faith, it is impossible to please him, to please him. You know, I say this so often to everybody that God did a work for sin. That was Jesus on the cross. But he never did anything to make our faith exempt.
Okay.
We got to be. So the greatest, he dealt with sin through Calvary. But he never gave
yes,
us
sir.
An option not to believe.
That's true.
Because his greatest desire is to be believed. And so Israel
Amen.
Here can't believe God. And so they are not following him. They're not doing what he said. And I'm going to do this real quick, and then I'm going to bring it to 2022, into 23.
Okay.
And so what happens because they can't believe him, when they would sow seeds that were supposed to produce a harvest, the seeds would actually produce the harvest, but the enemy would wait until the harvest had come into full bloom or full fruition, and they would swoop in and take everything that they had. This is what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is a blessed people of God. This is the people that are
yes,
promised
sir.
Of God. But when you don't align with God, you can sow seeds that produce a harvest, and the enemy comes and take the harvest, and you will feel helpless.
Come on.
You'll feel helpless like, why is this? Now, that's confusing. That's confusing.
Yeah.
The Bible says in this text that Israel was greatly impoverished. A people that are blessed, that are called by his name, is now losing to an enemy that they should have easily defeated. This is what happens
yeah.
every time we don't align with God. So God, what he does, he sent prophets. He sent a prophet to Israel. He sent a prophet that was to align. God's intent, and always will be, is 2 Corinthians 5:19. It is the basis of all God's heart. Here's what 2 Corinthians 5:19 says. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. Not imputing their iniquities. God is not trying to impute your iniquities. He's trying to redeem you. He's trying to reconcile.
Yes, Lord.
So he said, now, make the decision. You have a right and you are qualified to make a decision that aligns with what I have already predestined. That's when the blessings come. And so what he did was, God, every time he gets ready to move, he always reminds you of what he's already done for you. And everybody's
yeah.
got a
okay.
testimony of something that God brought you out of. Whether you
Amen.
Think you are on point now, that you're on the level that you qualify, you know that you should have been gone.
Jesus.
But God gave
Preach.
You grace. You should have been out of here. But you got, so we all got that testimony.
Uh-oh.
So God comes to his people Israel and says, I have already delivered you out of the hand of Egypt. That was impossible.
Yeah.
You thought you was over there, but I promise you. And I did and performed exactly what I said. Now, here's where the 10th verse comes in. And I said unto you, I am the Lord your God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites in whom land ye dwell, but ye have not obeyed my voice. Now, here's the gist of the text. Your fear is connected to your worship. This is why he said fear not, because fear is connected to worship. Fear in this connotation is reverence and respect.
That's what
he's saying to Israel, after all I've done for you, you know how powerful, you know I can perform what I said, but now you are reverencing and respecting other gods. Here's the problem, because they didn't bring you out of bondage. They're not
sure
your
didn't.
Source. They're not the thing that promised you. And so it is today. What God is saying to you, when you hear, Jesus says we're in this world, but not of this world.
Of this world.
So,
yes, sir.
When negative reports about the economy and about the situations of the world come, we as believers are not to be afraid. Because
That's right.
as the text said to Israel, you are fearing the gods of the Amorite in whose land ye dwell. In other words, you are in it, but you shouldn't be fearing the gods of it.
That's right.
You are in a situation, but you are blessed beyond measure. If you can trust me, if you can reverence and respect me, I will be your God. And that's the plight of Israel, is that they cannot reverence and respect the God that promised. And so it is today. So when it comes to grace, we must understand God's greatest desire. Our problem is not the anger of God toward us. It's his saying, I can't do it now because you're not aligned with me. You're not in alignment with me. So I give you an opportunity to align yourself. I give you an opportunity to come back, because reconciliation is the heart of God in every situation.
Amen. Amen.
Every situation.
And the beautiful thing about all that powerful word that you just shared, Pastor Whitmore, is that no one can ever claim an excuse that they didn't know, that there was not enough knowledge, that there was not an opportunity for me to reconcile on my own, because God is saying, look, I am here for you as God. I'm the creator. I'm the one that made you and everything known and unknown. Now, are you willing to get to know me on whatever level a person is? God is so attuned in language, since he's the creator of all things. He can speak to anyone at any level, at any language, and make himself known. He provides enough light of revelation knowledge so that no one can claim the excuse, I didn't know. Even we ourselves, Pastor, say in a court of our human law that ignorance of the law is no excuse. We say that in our human courts. Amen. So, Pastor, listen, you are so profound. I know you may want to comment on that. Pastor, I'm going to let you comment on that, and then I need to share a wonderful announcement with the achievement that you have already arrived and the celebration that's coming with that. Come on, Pastor, share with us, because I know you got something to come behind what I just shared.
Well, So I think it needs to be noted and emphasized again that God knows how to speak all languages. No, and when I say all languages, I'm not talking about French and German. I'm talking about situational language. He knows what to say, when to say, and how to say. So, again, there's no excuse. Now, to bring that into a scripture, to bring scripture into actually quantify or solidify this, Amos 3:7 is a passage that we always hear spoken. Surely the Lord does nothing unless he first revealed it unto his servants, the prophets. Well, that is another situation that Israel, the chosen, the promised people of God, was in. And they were now in the middle of something like Judges 6, enemy coming in and doing things to them. And so what their reply to God was, what is going on? What is this? Why is this happening? If we had a known, we would have did the necessary things to change it. And God says this to them.
Yeah.
God says, I will never, ever allow something to happen unless I first alerted you through a man, a woman, a God, or some kind of way. I have already told you. You ignored me. You wouldn't listen to me. It wasn't convenient for you. So that's exactly what that passage, I know it's been used to build a brand and say, I'm the friend of God, and he tells me if you want to know what God says, come to me, because he does nothing without first telling me. But that's not what the context. The context was a people complaining because they were suffering something, and they said God didn't tell them. And he says, I never do anything unless I warn you, I tell you, I constantly tell you, it's coming, it's coming, it's coming, but you ignore what I said. Amen.
That's good. That's the truth. God said that it's not his desire that no soul should be lost. But why would God allow somebody to spend eternity with him and they're miserable? Because if you rejecting God down here on earth, how you think you're going to feel when you get to heaven and all this praise and worship is going on, people bumping you out the way trying to get to the throne to celebrate and give God praise, and you sitting over in the corner mad because just like you was in earth, all this talk about Bible and God and Christianity was getting on your nerves. So God is saying, I would not subject you to all this wonderful praise and worship that's going on, all this joy and happiness.
You made the decision that you didn't want to be a part of my invitation. You didn't want to be a part of my eternal gift of life. So there's only one other recourse for you. I got two places for you, heaven or hell. And we're not trying to scare people into coming to Jesus. We're just stating a biblical, factual truth. There's two places for us to dwell after this life is over, and that's with God or without God. Pastor,
yeah.
I want to commend you. I want to congratulate you on 10 years of faithful service that you have going on in your ministry. You are to be applauded. You are to be acknowledged. You are to be commended highly for the work that you have done, for the work that you are doing, and for what we also believe, Pastor Woodward, the work that you will continue to do. I know there's a celebration coming up, and I'm looking to be a part of it now. I think I might be able to get away because you're only 40 miles away. That's a little while for me. I can make it. I can be a part of the celebration.
Amen.
Congratulations on 10 years of faithful service, Pastor Whitmore.
Thank you so much, Brother Ron. Thank you so much. Thank you. And I would admonish listeners to keep tuning in to the platform. It's refreshing when you hear the heart of people that are in the vein, if you will, that know where God is and what he's doing. It is so important. It is so important that we get the word and get the word of God from people that actually had the experience. That's a wonderful thing, man. And so keep doing what you're doing, man. Keep it up.
Amen.
Amen.
I certainly will. I certainly will. My soul has been on fire ever since God has restored my life to what it is now. I have to share with people all the time that when 2020 hit, that was the beginning of multiple seasons of blessings and favor for me. My heart goes out to those that lost jobs, loved ones. But when that virus hit, I was being sustained. Just like being in the middle of a storm where there's peace, there's chaos, and there's wild winds and devastation all around a tornado. But in the center, in what is called the eye of the storm, there's nothing but peace. And that is a symbolic example of our God. There can be so much chaos and distress and stress all around you. But when we submit to God and come into the center of his will, willingly, submissively, there'll be peace regardless of what's going on around you. Pastor, I know you have a Facebook broadcast. Please, please, please enlighten my listeners when they can tune into your Facebook live platform so that they can continue to be enriched by your ministry, sir.
Well, yes, my Facebook page is Eugene Whitmore. Eugene Whitmore. You can send me a friend request. I definitely accept it. But we do what is called Lunchtime Uplift. It's Mondays, 12 noon, Central Standard Time, and actually a combination platform on Friday. Of course, the Facebook, as well as we do a radio broadcast on that day as well. And so you could tune in on Monday, Friday. My wife, who you say is partner, and she's indeed that, she every morning, 6 a.m. Central Standard Time, she do a platform called EAT. It's called Early Affirmations with Lady T. It's the proper declarations for the beginning of your day to, because I believe that our life is governed by our mouth. Our verbal declaration give God the authorization to begin the work. So we got to say it if we want to see it. So she began every day, 6 a.m., Monday through Friday, with verbal declarations. And we've seen some amazing, amazing things happen as a consequence of us doing that. So, and then, of course, 10 a.m. on Sunday mornings is network regular service at the Holiday Inn Presidential here in
That's
Little Rock,
it.
Arkansas, 600 I-30. 600
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Thank you so
Amen.
Much.
Amen. That's exactly where I was going, Pastor, because we want the people of God. It's not necessarily that we're trying to recruit you to try to take you from another ministry or another church. It's just that there is such a beauty in being able to sit in a diverse place of believers where the Spirit of the Lord and the Word of God is flowing forward So, yes, Pastor, by all means, thank you. And also, I'm going to extend an invitation for everyone that's in the Little Rock area or surrounding area that you may want to be a part of this wonderful celebration that is going to be taking place with my dear friend, Pastor Whitfield, in his 10-year anniversary. That celebration is going to take place on November 30th, if I'm not mistaken, sir, at the 3 p.m. hour. November 20th, listeners, at 3 p.m., there's going to be a 10 years of faithful service. The guest speaker is going to be Bishop Stephen M. Arnold of Grace United, and the musical guest will be Rodney Block and Bethany Divine. I promise you it is going to be a wonderful time. Location is going to be Graham's Temple Church of God in Christ at 4215 Fraser Pike in Little Rock, Arkansas. If you want to get information, if I read that too fast, just go to Eugene Whitmore's Facebook page and you'll see the promotion there. I'm looking for a wonderful time. I'm looking to be there as well, sir. So I'm just going to ask you to save this seat. Don't have to be in the front. The middle is fine. Even if it's in the back, I just want to be in the part. I just want to be in the place for the celebration. Pastor Whitmore, we love you. And
thank you, sir.
We love you, First Lady Divine Whitmore, for all the wonderful work that you all are doing as man of God. And the people of God and the ministry of the work of Jesus Christ, we commend you, we applaud you, we keep you in our prayers. Our request, simply, sir, is that you keep me uplifted in prayer as well, and looking forward to continued kingdom collaboration. Thank you for joining us, Pastor Whitmore. We appreciate you, sir.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Amen. Amen. Pastor Eugene Whitmore. Right here. Yes, on this fire gospel experience. Amen. Amen. We just ran out of time, y'all, because I'm telling you, there was so much profound knowledge. It was so enriching to my spirit. I know it had to touch you because it certainly touched me as well. You're tuned in to fire, the gospel experience. This is where we really start to turn up the heat on this gospel experience that is fire, fire, fire. We're going to shine our outer spotlight on my dear sister in Christ. She's waiting in the wings. I'm ready to turn her loose. Come on, my little guy, Karen Della Sevier. When I say Sevier, that just brings up the French side of my bloodline. Got to be some French in me somewhere. Amen, amen. Listen, we want to get our praise on, because don't you know that as we obey God, as we move forward in his wonderful gift of grace and blessing, that there is this sense of how God is blooming in our lives. That seed that I spoke of, that Pastor Eugene Whitmore talked about, yes, that seed exists in us, and it is nurtured by the word of God, but we have to be willing participants in our own growth, in our own development. That means we have to take time in prayer. We have to take time in studying God's word. We have to be in a word church that is disseminating the word of God properly, so that we won't get distracted or derailed in our knowledge and then go through unnecessary educational, biblically speaking, upheaval. Amen goes right there. Here's woman of God, Simona. She sent me new music, y'all, and I had to pull up some more because we want to bloom in the beautiful life of our God.
Lost, you found me. You give me water and sunshine.
Grace and mercy keep me growing.
Hallelujah, you prove me. Yeah, it hurt, but now I'm blooming.
Had to learn you want the best for me. Now I'm expanding exponentially.
You gave me you. Been more than enough. Even when it gets rough.
To keep me growing.
Hallelujah, you prune me. Yes, it hurt, but I'm blooming. Had to learn you want the best for me. Now I'm expanding exponentially.
Accomplishment it is to know that we have submitted to God just enough, because that's all we bring to God. We don't bring to God anything that he already does not possess. So what God asks us to do is to magnify him. And what we mean by that is we're not adding to the nature of God. What we are doing is like mirrors. God is shining on us, and we are just reflecting who God is. Woman of God, Simona, with Bloom, I'm praying that you all are blooming. I'm praying that you are allowing God more room, more space in your lives. Amen. So that you can be this wonderful, wonderful vessel of God of honor and blessing. There are blessings that we have, I'm trying to tell you. Money came by, and they say fake it till you make it, but they're not talking about being no Christian, because there is no faking. In this Christianity, all that there is that there is the beautiful transition of holy God flowing through us, his creations. That's why he made us. When God took this molded clay of a man, it had no life in it. It just had form. But it was not until God breathed. The Hebrew word is nephesh. When he breathed the breath of life into this clay body, that's when man became a living soul. And then blood, muscles, sinew, and bones became a part of the transformed ingredients that became a man. And God is still continuing his transforming work, but from the inside out, spiritually speaking. And it's a daily walk, like my dear friend, brother in Christ, Pastor Eugene Whitman said, it's a process and it takes time. But don't you know, as we embrace God, time is on our side. That's why God gave us eternity, so that we can learn to wisely use time, so that when we come into the eternal state, guess what? We already have the wisdom required to live out the rest of our days, which never ends, in the beautiful presence of God. We are shining our shine artist spotlight on you gifted, blessed, anointed, talented people of God, musicians, gospel artists that sing God's praises, that plays instruments of God's praises and worship from your heart as you sing and play, as expressions of how holy God has come in and divinely encamped and compose himself in your very being. My dear sister in Christ, Karen Zellers Sevier, she is here to bless us, and she is going to start this blessing off with just a simple praise triumphant. Because don't you know, when we have a heart submitted to God, Holy Spirit God comes in and lifts us up beyond all cares, all circumstances, all trials and troubles. Your situation may not change, but let me tell you something. He emboldens us and plants in us such a spirit of victory. Guess what? We don't have to wait until the war is over. We can shout right now.
I'm gonna hit it right. You're the one.
Yes, yes, yes. That's what I'm saying. Just like Brother James Brown, Soul Brother Number One, used to always say, let the band get some. Amen. Goes right there. Sounds of woman of God, Karen Zeller Sevier, doing what she does best, giving God his just due praise. Coming to us live, y'all, out of Houston, H-Town, Texas. My special guest, anointed, gifted, beautiful woman of God from the inside out, Karen Zeller Sevier, is here on this Fire Gospel Experience. Yeah. Woman of God, amen. Welcome, welcome, welcome. It's been so long overdue. Welcome back to Fire the Gospel Experience. Bless you. Thank you for joining us, woman of God. How are you?
Thank you. I'm glad to just be here connected with you. I'm doing wonderful. How about yourself?
I'm so blessed it don't make no sense. If I start bragging on the goodness of God, somebody out there going to sway up and down. I'm just making it
Uh-oh.
Up. I promise you I'm blessed.
Come on.
And highly favored. Woman of God, I heard
yes.
you right before you cut the band loose and let them do what they do, they just got their praise on. I could
yeah.
feel it as if I was in the studio. You just said, okay, I'm good. I got my praise on. I heard you give that high note. You was like, oh. I was like, yeah, they done got happy up in there. And then the band just went on and cut on out. I love it. I love it. That is the beautiful flow of the spirit of praise. Now, what I want you to do for those that
yeah.
have not had the pleasure of being involved in your ministry, introduce yourself,
mm-hmm.
but then after you give us an introduction of who you are, I want you to share with us how we can allow that spirit of praise to flow through our ministry. Everybody don't sing, everybody don't preach or teach, everybody don't be an usher, but if you're a Christian, you have a ministry in the body of Christ. After you give us a little bit introduction of who you are, tell us how we can find that spiritual flow to help us connect to go higher in our calling. Who is Woman of God Karen Zeller Sevier?
Well, I am the wife of, because, you know, while we're out there in ministry and doing all that and operating mm-hmm. and serving in the call of leadership, when I come home, I am Ronald Lee Sevier's wife.
That's right.
And it
That's
is
right.
a blessing.
I hear you.
It is a blessing to be his wife, so I thank God for him.
Amen.
I am
Amen.
I'm an independent recording artist. I'm blessed to have been in music all of my life. I was raised not only by a choral music director, my mother, Ina Kirksey Zellers, is a retired choral music director. She was in the school district probably almost 50 years, I guess, I don't know. But she's also a minister of music, so I had music all around me. She's been a minister of music all of my life, so I have been
yes.
surrounded by music. So, and I'm grateful for
mm-hmm.
that. I come from a musical family. I understand that there is a group in Lufkin, Texas, that was named after my grandfather, Lawrence Kirksey, who was also, I believe, the first person to sing on radio or something in Lufkin, Texas, something like that. I don't know.
Wow.
But I thank God for that. And then I've been able to do some recording with my mother, she's recorded music before, and then I've done some background for the country singer Lyle Lovett. I've also done some work under the leadership of Minister Kathy Taylor, who is the minister of music at Windsor Village United Methodist Church. And I've learned so much under her leadership, and then just being able to sing and do work with recording artist Lamar Campbell. He was also a great influence in my life as well when we served together at Windsor, when we all were together at Windsor, and he and Kathy both recorded a song I wrote, I Live to Worship You, as well as jazz
Beautiful.
Artist, jazz musician Herman Lee, who also recorded an instrumental version of I Live to Worship You. So I'm just grateful. My mother, even though I did not pursue a music degree in college. My mother made sure that I was raised in the arts and made sure that I was trained. I took a lot of different music classes in my college career, and I still pursue music education even now. It's just God had, let me say it this way, I went another route, but God's plan will always trump whatever you decide to do.
Just like in spades, God will have a cut card, and he will turn that whole thing around. Amen. See,
turn it, flip it all around. But I'm
grateful
my mother did her part. Yes.
Amen. We are grateful for those divine interruptions, because we can look back and reflect and say, thank you, God, because
thank you, God.
I'm going to use that word that became so prevalent in my life from a dear friend of mine, as well as Pastor Whitmore said it, alignment. That means that we need to make
sure
that we are where we are supposed to be, and that comes through what we'll be discussing at length later on the broadcast, talking about to obey, to submit willingly, so that we can be in that oneness that our Lord Jesus prayed about in John 17. He said, Father God, I'm praying that these, talking about all fellow disciples of Christ, will be one together in me you and I are one. So it's really all about oneness. Amen. Woman of God, tell us, how when you get into this wonderful spiritual flow, is there a process? Is there something that you can just highlight and recommend to us to allow that spirit of praise, that spirit of empowerment that comes over you when you're ministering? Is there a process that you can kind of set out for us so that we can use your suggestion to let Holy Spirit God come in and regulate as he sees fit in our
lives? Absolutely. You said one thing, and that was submission. And that was submit.
Okay.
You said that word is submitted. Oftentimes we run away from that word, but all it does, it simply means to agree. It's just real easy.
Okay.
Agree with God. And I'll tell you this, because you also said that we're not all singers. We're not all called to be musicians. We're not, you know, some of us are ushers, some of us. But all of us have been given gifts and talents to use for the edification of the body of Christ. But we have got to remember everything we see, hear, do, all of the five senses, they all count. And God gave us five senses for us to use. And then to hear, he gave... It's something that a friend of mine says all the time. That's why God gave us two ears and one mouth. He wanted us to do more hearing than talk, than speaking. I'm going to say this. That's right. When Jesus left, he didn't leave us comfortless. He said, he told the disciples, he said, I'm not leaving you comfortless. I must go back to, I return to my Father, but you have one who is greater than I, and that is the Holy Spirit. And we have to remember the Holy Spirit who lives within us. We are carriers of the presence of God. And we must remember that every encounter that we have, we must allow the Holy Spirit to lead us in every encounter. And as carriers of his presence, any encounter that we have with someone is an encounter that that person that we're connecting with is an encounter with the Father. And then when we go out and we're walking, I mean, I make note of everything. Everything that God created was for us. He created all of us to give him glory. But even everything that he created, the skies, the moon, the stars, the seas, the trees, the flowers, everything that he created is doing exactly what he purposed them to do. And that's what we have got to remember, to be doing exactly what he purposed us to do. He created us to give him glory, number one. And the Holy Spirit who lives within us, that breathes in us the breath of life, we have got to walk in that and not look at encounters and things that's being happenstance and, it just happened. Oh, it was by accident. No. We have to look at every step. Our steps are ordered. Everything is ordained by God. And we must live out the call of God and live out his presence and just let the Holy Spirit be in control. My mom always says the Holy Spirit makes the difference. We've got to let the Holy Spirit control, be in control, so that we can do and be all that he has designed and purposed us to be.
Has destined us to be. Now, I'm going to say amen, amen, amen to everything you just said, but you just made me mad. I'm mad.
Why?
I'm mad.
What?
I asked you, woman of God, I said,
what?
Would you like to be in my shine artist spotlight for 10 or 15 minutes, or would you like to be my featured guest for 30 or 40 minutes? Now, we're trying to squeeze all this wonderful biblical information and inspiration that we have into this 10 and 15-minute segment when I knew it in my spirit that you was going to come fully loaded, impactful, and I knew you was going to need more time. So I'm not mad. I'm just wishing that we had done it. But that's okay. Guess what? Because now they're just giving me an excuse to bring you back. So that we can sit down, woman of God, Karen,
come on,
Sevier, and let you just go ahead and release all that wonderful biblical knowledge that's in you. And right now, listen, I'm going to let you respond, but I need to let that marinate in your spirit until you can't take it no more when you say, you know what, Brother Ryan, I need to come back ASAP. But right now, we're going to give God praise because guess what? Your name is praise, right. Most High God.
Amen, it is.
Spotlight on that dynamic voice, anointed woman of God that you just heard, caring, generous, every year, giving God his just due praise, because that's what it's all about. And then we're blessed to receive the overflow from God. The Bible declares that God smiles on the righteous, woman of God. The Bible declares that we are the apple of his eye. That means we have a particular place in God that is irreplaceable, that God has such affection and love for us as he created us, that he sent his own son in likeness as a man to be the redeemer so that we can be with him eternally. Now, I don't get no better than that. That gives us reason to praise God if nothing else happens. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
And it don't get better
Amen.
Than that.
Amen. Amen. I guess you was in the spirit of praise right there. It just hit you, and you was like, Lord, she's up in the third heaven right about now.
I'm just listening. Just listening and receiving. Just so good.
Receive it. Amen. Receive it. You know how we do here. And you are in a phenomenal group of gospel artist women that I have really felt connected to. Woman of God, Sheila Moore Piper, Woman of God, Anita Franklin. You all have such a similar spirit of just joy and just vibrant praise to God. I can actually sense you all coming from a place inside your soul, inside your spirit. So, woman of God, listen, I'm just grateful to be connected with you. We're definitely going to have to schedule you for more time so that you can come and share just what's in your spirit, what's in your heart for the people of God.
Thank you.
So that you can glorify God with your testimony as well as you do in your music ministry. So listen, we pray God will continue to lead you, guide you, cover
you,
manifest his glory over your life, over your marriage, over your ministry, so much so that even the people that you associate with receive the overflow of blessings that God pours on your life. That's my consistent prayer
for
you.
I'm grateful.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen.
Amen. I'm grateful. Thank you so much for the opportunity to be here. I can't just not acknowledge what a blessing it is to work with Sheila Moore Piper and her husband, Glenn Piper. They have produced the music
Absolutely.
That you heard today. And so I've got to just mention them and just thank you so much for the opportunity to be the spotlight artist today. I'm grateful, and I can't thank you enough. Thank you so much, Brother Ryan.
Amen. If you really mean it, then let's reschedule so that we can fellowship a little bit longer next time. How's that? Can we work that out?
Sounds good. Sounds good. Let's do it.
Amen. Amen. Woman of God, Karen Zelicepia, y'all. She was here on Fire the Gospel Experience, and I shine out the spotlight. She shines spot. Amen. Amen. And I would extend an invitation to you, you and you too. If you are a gospel artist, musician, and you have a ministry, and you're looking for a platform to go beyond your neighborhood, your church location, your local atmosphere where you are known, and you feel God has greater for you, not so that you can get carried away with your ministry, but so that God can carry you away to a place that you will be so thoroughly blessed to just be a vessel of God that you just will shake your head in disbelief and think that it's a dream, but it's really a vision that God has for your life. Get in touch with me. I'm on Facebook, Ron E. Jefferson. Send me a message, Brother Ron. I heard the broadcast and the invitation on Fire the Gospel Experience. I want to be a part of it, and I promise you, I'll do just like I have done for so many over the past upcoming 5 years of broadcasting Fire the Gospel Experience, Woman of God, Karen Zelicevier, and so many more. It's a privilege for me and an honor to Kingdom collaborate with you, because you all are anointed, called people of God, and my ministry is to associate with you, to partner with you, to help build your ministry all to the glory of God. Give me a call, 870-413-0220, the number to call, or just send me that MP3 music, Ronald Jefferson 1. And I'll play it, and when I play it, I'll send you the archive and wait on you to be my live guest, just like so many in the past. You're tuned into Fire, 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 the Gospel Experience. We will be discussing, for your spiritual consideration and nutrition, obey from the book of Judges, chapter 6, verse 10. I have a few thoughts that Holy Spirit God has given me, and I want to share it with you. But right now, here's man of God, Thurman Thornton II. When you obey and are blessed by God, You'll get one more day. And guess what? It's an eternal day.
Yeah. We're going to take them back with this one. Y'all might remember the testimony of Sabbath Post Scholar Devotion.
How he ended that. He poured his spirit all the way into that man of God. Thurman Thornton II had an opportunity to meet that young man. He was so blessed and anointed, and he took away all of the awards at the Love Music Awards 2022 right here in Little Rock, Arkansas. Certainly my pleasure to have that young man be a part of this fire gospel experience. Looking forward to having him. Come on, brother. Come on. What you waiting on? I am looking forward to you joining me on this platform so that you can bless the people with your testimony as well as more anointed music, like you just sang, on One More Day. We are considering from the book of Judges 6 and 10 about obey. Yes, obey. I said it, and I'm not going to take it back. I said it, and I meant it. Amen. So let's get right into it, just for your thoughtful consideration. King James Version of the Bible says, "And I said unto you, I am the Lord your God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell, but ye have not obeyed my voice." We're going to talk about obey. Now, we Christians have read in the Old and New Testament about the issue of fear.
we live in at times very intimidating and pressure influenced society. As a result of these dynamics, we may at times see our lives in potentially compromising positions. We fear retaliation and ostracization from others. We fear being scoffed at, ridiculed, and maligned with reputations ruined. So what we call in our modern day times as confrontational would be considered as outright savage in ancient times when there were no mediators as such as we have today, no arbitrators that have a democratic structure to see just and equity garnered properly. So what does our mighty one, God, have to say to us today that he originally said to our biblical ancestors in the faith? Judges 6:10 says, "Again, and I said unto you, I am the Lord your God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell, but ye have not obeyed my voice." His first words of reassurance are, "And I said unto you, I am the Lord your God." Listen, y'all, we would do well to keep Almighty One God in his proper position and stature. He declares that, as we from time to time need to be reminded, he is the Almighty One who created all things known and unknown. But we can assimilate this into our mental, emotional, and spiritual core being, we would be well on our way to follow through with our calling, destiny, and assignments for God. Again, Judges 6:10, the B part says, "Fear not the gods of the Amorite." This first biblical reference that God makes of regarding fear is in Genesis 15:1, which says, "After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward." God gave our spiritual forefather, Abram, a declaration to fear not. Why? Because, again, God announces his supreme omnipotence to be Father Abraham's and our shield to deflect and protect us from all demonic powers and evil that would contain against us. Now, that's not to say that we will not have to engage in spiritual battles and warfare, but at some point God will step in with power and relieve and restore us to a place of victory. So, however, fear has another dynamic that cannot be missed here. There are more dimensions to what fear is, biblically speaking. Proverbs 1:7 says, "Respect and obey the Lord. This is the beginning of knowledge. Only a fool rejects wisdom and good advice." That comes from the contemporary English Bible, because the King James says, "Fear of the Lord." Again, the better translation or the more adept and fuller translation is respect and obey. Speaking of fear as a reverential respect, not the fear of dread or harm for one's well-being, but an awe-inspired understanding, state of mental assertion where a person is governed by an honor deserved to God and given by followers of our Lord Jesus. So why do we still at times find ourselves fretful and cringing from within about future outcomes that may or may not ever even happen? It's the allowing of uncertainty to cancel out our faith is the main thing. And then the C portion of Judges 6:10 says, "In whose land ye dwell, but ye have not obeyed my voice." Our church elders from days gone by always sang and reminded themselves and all of us collectively that we are travelers who are pilgrims passing through this barren land. It is to our spiritual advantage for us believers to keep an eternal perspective in this life now that we are living, that we are created to stand in faith in a world of unbelief. We cannot and should not expect to effectively make a change in our surroundings
and social atmosphere when we mingle too long and lose sight of our Christian identity in the company of unbelievers. It's the very word of God that transitions our mind into the very mind of our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. Philippians 2 and 5 says it better. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So the most important equivalent to this spiritual configuration is a fear, a holy reverence in submission, just like you heard one of God, Karen Zelisevier, speak on. No patient in their right mind fights against or disobeys the instructions of a medical doctor doing operations or surgery. So fear, holy submission, or cooperation bears weight to the overall factor of what I'm sharing, and that is obedience. So do we have our definition and application of fear backwards is my question. Are we in fear to obey, reluctantly speaking, when we actually should be having a healthy fear to disobey? Obedience is the great marquee that should be read as each individual's billboard of faith, not to necessarily broadcast our great faithfulness, but to humbly and consistently a foundational frame in our relationship with God the Father, Jesus our Lord, and Holy Spirit God. It is indeed the difference maker. Amen. So let us be about the business of obeying God from a willing heart, from a submissive mind, and from a desire to please God. Amen. Goes right there. I want to thank my special guest, man of God, Pastor Eugene Whitmore, came in with so much knowledge and profound word of encouragement. He blessed us all. Again, thank you, woman of God, and my shine on the spotlight, Karen Zelisevier, who came in and just blessed us so good. I feel renewed in my spirit by my special guest coming in and just sharing light and beautiful encouragement to you, and I'm going to say you too. Definitely want to leave y'all with one word. And I shared it while I was sharing words of encouragement and inspiration with Pastor Eugene Whitmore, and Holy Spirit God has just impressed upon me to share it again, to make it profound and to let somebody know that God turns our worst nightmares into sweet dreams come true. Amen. Goes right there. I'm so grateful to each one of y'all. I pray you be blessed in the beautiful name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ from now until eternity, until he comes for us, his church, his beloved bride. I leave you with woman of God, Clovette Danzy. No, she got to be from the South with a name like, a beautiful name like Clovette Danzy, featuring man of God, Gabriel Owens, in Wake Up and Rise. Until next time, y'all be blessed in the wonderful, beautiful name of our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. Wake up! And
it's a new day of decision. See my vision. Have I mentioned to pay attention? Arise and listen. Awake. No more sleeping and slumbering. No more complaining. A new day of thinking and giving. It's a new way of living. Arise in authority. Arise in victory. Rise, arise, arise. See God's glory. Awake. Effective. Arise and live. Awake. Come on, sleep.
compromise. When he moves, you move. Now take flight to the east and to the west. From coast to coast, he gon' bless. Now up north and to the south. Yo, he's too big to count him out, count him out.
Share the bill, 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 share the